Morning, dear. I am grateful that you accept my aid and allow me to sit down. It's wonderful to be here, and thank you for your welcome. I'd like to share a few thoughts from a very wonderful story told in the Gospel of John. Chapter 4. You know the story very well, so you can read it if you wish now or later. And it's the story of how Jesus met the woman at the well. I'd like to call it the chapter of surprises. Do you like surprises? Somebody gives you a beautiful present sometime, big box, and you open it. And to your surprise, there's another box inside. And then you open that one, and there's another one inside. And it goes on until in the end, what you get in the box is not very significant. And you are surprised. And sometimes people gather together on your birthday and they don't tell you anything about it. They sort of keep it a secret. And then perhaps at 6 o'clock in the evening, they say, "We're going out for supper." And you go somewhere for supper and there's a whole crowd of people. And as you walk in, they say, "Surprise!" Well, now, that's the sort of atmosphere of the story you read in John chapter 4. I would like to make the text, the words that are really written in the King James version of this story, it says, "He must needs go through Samaria." Now, if you're familiar with the geography of Palestine, you will know that a part of the old Israel, so to speak, was Galilee. It was up in the north. And then down below was Judea. And in between was Samaria. Now, the Jews didn't like the Samaritans. It was mutual. The Samaritans didn't like the Jews. But Jesus was making his journey. And when he came to Samaria, what did he do? He walked straight through it until he came to a place called Sychar's Well. Now, you know, most of the Jews and the people who lived in Galilee would not go through Samaria. Yeah, that was the quickest way, straight through. But they would go east over the river, walk up and walk back west over the river to get to Galilee, or vice versa, to go to Jerusalem. It was a kind of bitter hatred. Well, what's happening today, of course, in Israel is very sad, and there is still that resentment between two groups of people. There's so much segregation and division and racial hatred in the world. So we're kind of familiar with the idea that the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Anyway, let's get to the story. The first surprise is Jesus decides to go through Samaria. I don't know whether people watched him walking by and said to themselves, "Goodness, look, there's a Jew walking through Samaria." As Jesus came to the well of Sychar, it says that he, wearied with his journey, sat beside the well. That's a surprise. Who is this man? Well, in fact, he is the Son of God. And yet it says he's tired and he sits on the well. Well, of course, the answer to the surprise is the mystery of the incarnation. The Lord Jesus chose to be one of us. And we get tired, don't we? And sometimes we have to sit down. And we need a drink of water. And as Jesus sat there by the well, along comes this woman, carrying her pitcher, no doubt on her shoulder. And I guess her sort of mouth opened as she saw this Jew sitting by the well. Surprise number two. Jesus spoke to this lady and he said, please give me a drink. She said, you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, a Samaritan. Well, that was a surprise. Do you ever have those sort of surprises in your experience? Many years ago, I had the privilege of visiting Israel, and we had two busloads of people, and we were fortunate to have two guides, the guide and the driver, same person. One was called Moses, and one was called Elijah. Doesn't that sound pretty good? Having Moses and Elijah driving the bus. Anyway, he said, sir, we are scheduled to go to Samaritan land today, to Sychar's well. But they are throwing rocks at strangers and visitors, and it isn't very safe to go. What do you think? Would you like to go? He said, I can take care of you. And he pulled up his briefcase and opened it, and inside was a Uzi machine gun. He said, I can take care of you. I said, no, thank you. We're not going to Sychar's well today. But Jesus went on the day he knew he would meet that lady. She was surprised. He wasn't. Anyway, she said, this is a wonderful well, you know. Jacob gave this to our fathers. And over the generations, everybody has been drinking from this well. But not Jews. She said, I don't quite understand. And Jesus said, well, you Samaritans worship here, but the Jews worship in Jerusalem, special place. She said, well, yeah, that's true, but this is a special place for us because we think of our father Jacob and he gave us the well. You worship, Jesus said, something you really don't understand. You worship something that really isn't significant or meaningful. And she said, yes, but you Jews worship in Jerusalem. Now, about this time, his disciples, who had gone away to get some food, they came back, and here's another surprise. They sort of whispered to each other, wow, look, he's talking to a woman. And not only that, but she's a Samaritan woman. That isn't done. Anyway, Jesus, in conversation with this woman, he said some things that really surprised her and showed her that he had information, he had the kind of knowledge that wasn't usual, because he said, by the way, lady, would you go and fetch your husband? Let's, you know, chat with him too. She said, I don't have a husband. Uh-oh, Jesus said, as a matter of fact, you've had five. And the one you're living with isn't your husband. Ooh. I guess that really shook her up. That he actually knew all about her. That's the amazing thing, isn't it? The Lord Jesus knows all about every one of us. He knows the circumstances of our lives. He knows the mistakes we've made. He knows the problems we have. But the amazing thing is, in his wonderful grace, he accepts us. And he continued as he talked to this woman. And he said, you know, this water that you're giving me is wonderful, but you're going to have to come again. But if you would like a drink of the water that I will give you, you won't thirst again. In fact, you'll have a sort of spring within you, springing up into life. Wow, she said, that sounds pretty good. How do I get this water? I don't understand, really, because you're talking about water, and the water is in the well, and you don't have a bucket, and you don't have anything with which to draw the water. Oh, well, it's not that water I'm talking about. I'm talking about the water of life. And I think he really went on and talked to her and explained all the more wonderful details of how we can drink of the water of life and live forever. What an amazing thing to drink of the water of life. And the Lord Jesus really is the well, the spring, the source of the life which is eternal. I presume that all of us here have had a drink of the water of life. If anyone here hasn't, well, it's available. The Lord Jesus is willing to satisfy the deepest longings of your soul as you trust in him who died to save you. Now, another surprise. The lady went off back into the town. By the way, it says that, you know, she came at the very hottest moment of the day, and apparently, I guess, they didn't go to draw the water until evening or early in the morning. But she was well known in the city. She was notorious, and it suggests that she was there, the only one. But when she went into the town, it says she spoke to the men. So she was pretty familiar, I guess, with the men. And she said, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. I just wonder who he is. Is he a prophet? Is he the Messiah? Is he And they, you know what happened? There was a great sort of spiritual awakening, and they came with the woman to meet Jesus. And they had quite an experience with him. In fact, it was very personal, because they said to the woman, you know, we're not believing in him now because of you and what you've told us, but we've had our own experience of Jesus. We know now this is the Savior of the world. A prophet, a teacher. See, it's sort of going up as you go through the chapter until in the end. Imagine these men, these people from the city. He's a savior of the world. He's against all segregation, divisions, racial hatred, all that sort of stuff. Do you know that expression, the savior of the world, is only used twice in the New Testament? If you go to 1 John chapter 4, you'll find it there too. But just think of it. Isn't it a beautiful description of the Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world? He's able to save to the uttermost all those who come unto him. God is able. God is willing to save. What a wonderful reaction meeting the Lord Jesus produced. It was as though the lady's eyes were gradually opened. Let's go back to the text. It says he must needs go through Samaria. It wasn't that Jesus just sort of happened to go through. It was a part of the plan of God, a part of the purpose of Jesus' life, that he loved people. He had a deep desire for every Samaritan, for every Jew. He really went through Samaria because he had such a powerful incentive in his heart. He loved us. That's why he came, isn't it? Can you remember the day the Lord Jesus came to you? Wasn't it a surprise that he would take on people like us, sinners? And through our Christian experience, we've sort of come to know various phases of his life and experiences of his grace and his love. Do you know, when you got saved, it was a part of the purpose of God and the plan of the Lord Jesus. It was foreknown before the very foundation of the world. When the Lord Jesus decided to go to Samaria, this sort of impetus that drove him on, his love, his passion, his compassion. You know, he knew that it was going to result in not just one woman, but a whole city being moved to discover that he, the Savior of the world, had come to them. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Just think of it. In the plan and the great purposes of God. Just think of it. You were there. The Lord Jesus met you quite deliberately. Not accidentally. May have been some sort of accidental circumstance that seemed to you, but the Lord Jesus came deliberately to reach you and to reach me. Amazing grace. What a wonderful Savior we have. Isn't it great to be surprised by grace? To be surprised to be a part of the family of God? Oh my, what a blessing. But what are we doing as members of the family of God? Are we reaching out to others? Are we like this lady who went and told, almost it sounds like a whole city got to know, Jesus is here? Wouldn't it be wonderful if each of us had this sense of purpose in our lives to go out and to tell others about Jesus? Can you imagine what would happen? There are enough of us here if we went out to tell the story of Jesus. It might even infiltrate the whole city of Vancouver. The Savior of the world has come. In his amazing grace to save us. Imagine choosing to become one of us, to descend from the glory of heaven to save us. Not because we deserve it, but because he loved us. There's a little children's hymn that says, Jesus, who lived above the sky, came down to be a man and die. He knew how wicked man had been and knew that God must punish sin. And out of pity, Jesus came. He opened blind eyes. He opened deaf ears. He saved people. But they hung him on the cross. And in his love, he died for us. We've heard about that this morning. Why did he suffer? I never can tell. Why did he suffer to save us from hell? Nothing but infinite grace from above could have conceived such a story of love. Grace. Grace, infinite grace, flowing to you and me. It may be today that Jesus is going to meet you as a believer in some special way to share a surprise for you. Well, God bless these simple thoughts and help us to be people on the alert for opportunities to tell somebody about the Savior of the world. Thank you for listening.
Brother, why don't you just close in prayer? Thank you.
Dear Lord, we are amazed at your grace. Amazed to think that you would go through such terrible experiences to save people like us. To become human, to sit on the well, to offer us the water of life even today. This is all so wonderful. We pray that having drunk of the water we may drink deeply again and catch the vision of those who need to share it with us. We thank you, Lord, that you have been with us this morning among us. We have heard of all your glories and also of your terrible suffering. And all we can do is to say, praise the Lord. What a wonderful Savior we have, the Savior of the world. So we commit our way to you and pray for your blessing as we continue together in fellowship. In your name, amen.